Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
I got an announcement coming up for you at 4:30. Throw a little party, so join us for that. 4:30, right after emails. Our question, why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
You know, we're talking about a ride-along, and, you know, the scenario that while you're doing the ride-along, the cop gets some kind of horrible call or gunfire and all that. What do they do with you, right? And then I went on from there, like, hey, man, if the guy gets shot, can I use his radio to say, officer,
like, down? Probably like Amtrak. They just pull over and drop you.
That's my guess. Well, yeah. Somebody here says, I was on my 9th grade job shadow with a police officer. A hostage call came in. So he dropped me off at the police station. I ended up attending my first AA meeting happening in the lobby. Great job shadow.
Wow. Why were you talking to the cops? Why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-RUN.
Like, I did one when I was, like, 19.
All right.
But there was no, like, crazy, crazy stuff.
Like, what kind of things did you guys?
Like, we went to, like, you know, like a domestic violence one.
Okay.
But it was kind of like, it had already, like, kind of calmed down.
So you just stay in the car? And
no. Like, we went to the door.
Wait, you walked up to the door with the cop?
Yeah, but, I mean, this was also Oxon Hill in PG County. And then it was like, let's go to these abandoned apartments and kind of mess with the people that are in there.
Let's go mess with people, all right?
Yeah. All right. Like, one kind of funny thing was, like, they were just, like, people are in there shooting drugs. They use it for prostitution. We just got to kind of scoot them out and chase them across the line into D.C.
And then, let them, like, deal with it.
Right. But, like, one guy, they were kind of messing with them, and they were like, watch this. And I was like, what's that? And, like, the guy's walking out, and they're like, hang on. You got to stay here. We got a problem. And the guy's like, come on, man. Like, I don't have any drugs on me. And they're like, what the F is this? And the guy's like, what is it? And they're like, library book. It's overdue. It's not my book. I mean, they had that guy going for like 10 minutes.
He's even like, it's not my book, man.
Yeah. And then, like, I don't know. Sometimes people just call the cops for random stuff. And this lady was like, I've been calling about this or that. And there was a fire in the building. Nobody comes by. And, like, the one cop, again, I'm 19. And he just goes, well, he's from the fire department. And the lady's, like, talking to me.
Pointing,
like,
at you?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know.
So what do you say when this lady now thinks?
It was very awkward. That's what I'm saying. Like, in retrospect, I don't know. I don't know at that point in the late 90s that the PG County Police Department was the most upstanding police department.
Clearly, they were not. They get out the vehicle with her. You got a domestic. It'll be great.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, DB. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Now, let me close this window. I'm at work. Sorry, I got big truck making noise. Anyway, hey, it's been a while. How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Positive Friday.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, I'll try to keep this story short. Probably over 20 years ago, I was you know, they had chat rooms and all that. And I met a lot of people, and there was one I went to, and we all decided to, you know, let's all get together this summer and go camping. And they decided halfway point was Indiana, which, yeah, wonderful, Indiana. So we all met at this, it was like a state park or county park up north of Fort Wayne. And everything was going great. And then, tequila happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember a lot between that and when, you know, everything went bad. But anyway, I just remember I was surrounded by three big guys wanting to kick my butt because I was just being belligerent, you know. And, of course, tequila, I wasn't backing down. I was going to take them all on. But all of a sudden, somebody called the sheriff or something, and happened that the sheriff knew one of the guys who wanted to kick my butt. So he walks up to me and he says, all right, let me see your ID. I gave him my ID. He goes, Washington State. He goes, well, you know what? You have two choices. You know, I always love it when they do that shit. But anyway, just stuff. Anyway, he goes, you can either leave my state or I'm taking you to jail right now. So I was like, well, okay. You know, D.B. Cooper doesn't want to go to jail. So I decided... I was going to take his offer and just leave the state. So I was actually kicked out of the state of Indiana because of tequila.
But here's the good news. It's Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, if you're in San Diego and they say that, you're kind of like, I go back to Indiana? I'd be like, cool.
Were you allowed to at least sleep it off and drive home in the morning?
Oh, yeah. I slept it off, and I actually drove down to Indianapolis the next morning, because that's where my flight was leaving from anyway. I just stayed in my motel room for like 2 days trying to nurse this hangover, because it was the worst one I'd ever had. You know, tequila.
Was it Jose Cuervo?
I think so. I don't remember. This was 20 years ago. I just know it was tequila.
Okay.
It was bad.
One of the worst hangovers I've ever had was on Jose Cuervo, but since then I don't drink that nearly as often, if ever. And I'll drink tequila and be perfectly fine the next day. But the Cuervo, for whatever reason, just
Cuervo Gold
wrecks me.
Yeah, that's what I kidnapped the guy on, man.
Yeah, but tequila now are just, there's just a lot of them are just better.
There's a lot of them that are cleaner.
But Jose Cuervo hasn't gotten any better. It's
too, right.
Cuervo has a lot of different versions.
Yes, they do. They did not back in the day, though. That was like, if you got right. Cuervo, it was like gold stuff. And I mean, we were young, we were stupid. That was
the standard. That was the tequila standard.
That's what tequila was. Yeah. That was it, right? It's the only one I'd even ever heard of. And me and a buddy, basically, we each put down a bottle. Oh, so we split two bottles, or we each drank a bottle. Wake up the next morning, and it's like, you've committed a felony. There's a kidnapping victim in your closet, and you kidnapped him.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-RIDE.
I mean, honestly, a lot of liquors like that.
There are. I mean, look, the older you get, or if you make more money, you start buying better stuff. And
plus, there's just a lot more. Like, I worked at a liquor store when I was 19, right? Like, tequila, there certainly was not a lot of options.
No.
But even whiskeys, you know? Like, for the most part, there was, like, Jack, Jim Beam, you know what I mean?
Wild Turkey.
Yeah, like nowadays, there's a lot of
variety.
I mean, there was a lot of cheap stuff, but like...
There's always the cheap stuff.
Right? But like, vodkas now, it's amazing. You know what, though? Shout out to like, Smirnoff.
Well, all different flavors and everything.
They were killing it for a while. Smirnoff was always good and has stayed that.
Grey Goose.
Yeah, a
couple of them.
But Grey Goose was always more expensive.
Yeah, I could not roll in the Grey Goose world. Smirnoff said, look, the price is right and you'll like it. And if you don't like it, we added flavors. And whatever flavor you like, we've got it.
Yeah.
Cucumber.
Yeah, some people get real excited about that. I do.
Me and really? Miles do. F'n cucumber is delicious.
Because we got a bottle, and I took it home, gave it to my wife, and I said, look, man, I don't know if you're going to like it or not. Apparently, it tastes like cucumbers. She crushed that
thing. It brightens up like a Bloody Mary. There's a couple drinks.
I guess, man.
You put it in some, you're like, man.
I just don't like cucumbers. And even when people are like, oh, I put a slice of cucumber in my water, it makes it taste fresh. I'm like, it tastes like cucumber. I just want my water.
I like that
to taste
in a hotel.
Like
I get
really?
I get the tub with the fruit in it. I get a nice cold glass
of
water.
Or like Jimmy John's, they put the cucumber on like the tuna sandwich. That's delicious.
I get pissed. But know me, man. Like, man, just stop with that. You know? Just stop.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tyrone. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Hey, Thrill, Miles, Ted, and Mike.
Hello.
I just want to say something to Ted real quick. His laugh is infectious. He has me dying. Something about his laugh.
Hey, thanks, man.
Anywho, long story short, me and my ex got a divorce, and then we reconciled, and she had me over, but in her craziness, she got a restraining order just so she could not have me on her property, but she invites me over. I've been over there for a couple of days, and I took my son out in my truck. I had him on my lap. He was just steering. We were just going around the block. Nothing serious, about 15 to 20 miles an hour. Nothing crazy. I come home. We park. She goes crazy. And I was like, no harm. No big deal. He's learning how to drive. He's like 12. And so everything was cool. We had a little argument, and it was all good, I thought. And I went to, I laid down on the couch, took a nap, and next thing I know, there's three cops cuffing me up, taking me to jail. I go, what in the hell is going on? And the cops were like, yeah, you're not supposed to be here. I go, she invited me here. What are you talking about? And so, yeah, I ended up going to jail for like 16 hours, but the funny part was, the jail guard goes, Tyrone, roll up your stuff. And as we were going to change my clothes to my street clothes, he's like, hey, the judge said this was garbage. And I was like, cool. So, yeah, man.
So when you were taking a nap, she called the cops on you.
Yes.
That's not good. I hope that was your last trip over to that residence.
No, because that's my only son. I have been over there since, but the restraining order is gone.
Okay.
Which I did, she can go psycho sometimes, dog.
I mean, I get it, but if she has a restraining order, then you're going to get arrested.
No, but she invited me back over.
But that's a trap, man.
It is a trap.
If a cop says, reach for my gun, don't actually do that.
No, she was mad because I took my son on around the block, and he was on my lap steering as I was controlling the brake and the gas.
How old's your son now?
He's 14.
All right. Okay, so he's a teenager.
All right. So that was only about 2 years ago all that went down. Man, oh, man.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you, Sarah?
Yeah, we are here.
I'm great.
We got you.
I am great. So my story is I was driving, this is a very long time ago. I am now 13 years clean and sober off of drugs.
Oh, that means this involves drugs. I like it.
So I got pulled over, and the cop was like looking through my car and found like a little mint tin and was like, oh, what's in here, mint? And I was like, yeah. And opens it up and said, nope, it's meth. And so got arrested, and they asked me what I was doing with it. And I told them that I was trying to sell it to get a motel room. So not only was a possession, but it was an intent to deliver also.
Why would you tell them that?
I just wanted them to know that I had a reason of why I had it on me, because it wasn't for me to smoke. It was for me to sell. But my stupid 20-year-old brain said to say that.
Yeah, you're adding the tone. Sir, do you know why I pulled you over? For speeding. Yeah, why were you speeding? Because I'm going to this house to kill someone.
Yeah, you just went from possession to distribution.
Right.
Yeah, well, my ending charge was an attempt to possess a controlled substance, which I thought was funny.
How does someone attempt to possess it if they busted you with it? It seemed like you were doing fine until the cops took it.
So did you end up going to jail?
Yes.
And is that how you got clean?
No. I took 10 years after that of not going back to jail, but just getting in a lot of trouble. And then I ended up getting clean 13 years ago off meth and oxys. And now I'm advocating for the opioid crisis and trying to get the whole world clean off drugs.
What was your what was the motivation to clean up?
My family, and just like not being able to be a part of like normal society, being in like that shadows of the underworld.
How were you making money?
Selling drugs.
So you kept selling after you went to jail?
Yeah.
How long are you in jail?
Just 30 days.
All right. It's not the worst. I mean, for meth possession,
I think it ain't the longest 30 days of your life, though.
I would think so.
For sure. Yeah. It's horrible in there.
Yeah, nobody really wants to go to jail. That seems to be the universal thread, you know.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, I feel like if you have a mint container in your car, even if it does have mints, don't have it in plain view.
Ooh, look, film for your camera.
You still use a film camera, sir?
I keep a mint container in my car all the time. I would never think of, like...
Does it actually have mints in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You just, I would not believe, like, BS.
Oh, man. Like, I know. I'm just like, I'm the opposite. I would not think anything weird about having a mint container. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep a peppermint Altoid container in my car all the time. I was like, what's wrong with that?
the ones that friends are just, whatever they had, it was always in their glove compartment. Of all the places, if you get pulled over, you just open the door to your weed stash.
Right.
Your crap smells like weed. Your registration smells like weed. You know, everything. Why would you hide anything illegal in the glove compartment? If you're keeping your registration and your insurance.
Yes, if that's where you're keeping other things.
If not, I understand, but still.
Where would you keep it, though?
A lot of times I just put it under, I've heard that people just put it under the front seats.
I have a little compartment in my trunk.
Look, I agree, but also if you're keeping illegal drugs in your car, you're kind of screwed anyhow if the cops start searching your car.
Yeah. That's true. I had a friend, we'll say, who one time was in a vehicle that got pulled over, and this friend of mine had a bunch of cocaine on him. And that cocaine disappeared out of my friend's pockets and went under the front seat real quick. Real quick.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kirk. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Happy, positive Friday.
It is.
Blue skies. Okay, I got one for you. Back in the day, 1983, junior high days, I was staying over at a buddy's house, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do that evening, and we got this genius plan to try to sneak out late at night and crash this party. We knew that some girls were having a slumber party, and we're thinking, this is a genius idea. So when it's the worst time to go, I don't know, 2:30-ish, we're like, okay, we're going to split. So we head out, and we're going down this road that has no street lights. We go down about a quarter mile. We're approaching the neighborhood, and there's a street light right at the intersection. As we're getting closer, we're seeing something move by this corner shrub, and it's like 6-7 feet tall. And I'm elbowing my buddy, and I'm like, look, what's that over there? And he's like, I don't see it. And then this big dude steps out, and he is pointing a gun at us. And I'm like, he's got a gun. And my buddy goes, no, it's a bottle. And I'm going, a bottle? No, it's clearly a gun. And he goes, so the guy's talking to us. And my buddy can't hear it, so he's stepping closer. What are you saying? What do you need? And I go, dude, he's got a gun. Why are you trying to talk to him? And then the guy, he steps back behind the bush like some kind of ninja. And I'm like, look, we got to get out of here. Nothing good's going to happen here. It's time to go. He goes, you're right. Let's split. So we come booking across the intersection with the street lights on. And then all of a sudden, we've got three cop cars on us. Lights everywhere, spotlights, they're kicking doors open, they're drawing guns on us, telling us to freeze. Oh, we're in motion. Freeze nothing. We're like, hey cops, there's a guy over here with a gun. And they're trying to keep their guns trained on us. And we ran straight up to him going, there's a guy with a gun. Hold on, there's a guy with a gun. And as soon as they knew that we were just a couple of stupid kids, they holstered their weapons and like, who's got a gun? And I go, this guy over here. And so one cop waves on some of his other partners, and they skedaddle and skimmer over there where this other guy was. So the cop tells us they got to call this guy, had some kind of robbery attempt. Somebody had tried to break into his house, and this guy called these cops. So then they dealt with the guy. They're like, yeah, it's the homeowner. Yeah, he drew a gun. Yeah, it's this guy. And what the guy was asking us is if we had seen the robber, whatever, cut foot our way. And we're like, no. So the cop then looks at us and going, how old are you kids? And we're like, 13-ish. And he goes, it's after your bedtime, isn't it? What the hell are you doing out? And we're like, well, we thought we'd sneak over and crash this slumber party. And he goes, no, you're going back home.
I'd have been like, say no more. I get it.
I have daughters. You're going home.
Absolutely.
Did your parents ever find out about this?
No, and I doubt they're listening to the show because they're in North Carolina right now, but, you know, they probably wouldn't believe me anyway.
Oh, we always snuck out. I mean, that was, for some reason, even if you did get caught, it wasn't the worst offense. It was just like, well, right. What are you doing out
they're
there?
Very disappointed, but it wasn't the end of your
world. And basically, it was just meeting up with friends. And that's all.
And literally, that's
honestly, God. And we were out vandalizing the neighborhood.
I think that's what parents worry
about.
We were just hanging out, man. Yeah, know? It's like, man, we just got together to hang out because we're kids and we can't control ourselves. But we weren't up to no good. Yeah, I mean,
I can remember going like, okay, it's 5. My stepfather wakes up about 5:45, 6 o'clock. So
right.
We need to start heading. I need to start heading home. So that was my cutoff time. Like we were just out talking. We're not drinking. We're not smoking cigarettes. We were just like, okay, are the girls going to meet us here? Right. What are we going to do? Like, we'll walk these trails. We'll go here. We just kind of explored.
Yeah, that's about it. I do remember coming a little bit later than normal.
Did you have friends over the house?
I mean, up until like midnight maybe. But I remember getting home kind of late. I'm a teenager at this point, but I get in kind of late. And I hear my father's footsteps upstairs, and I don't see him, but he stops at the corner at the top of the stairs, and he goes, Joseph, is that you? I said, who the hell is Joseph? He's like, that is the correct answer. And then he went back to bed. I was like, okay. He's like, I didn't know if it was you or not. He's like, I was going to kill a mother effer if they broke into my house. He said, I thought you were already home. You were past curfew, but the reason I didn't get mad is because at least it was you. I'm like,
yeah, I never.
Okay, good to know, man. Jesus.
I never snuck out. My sister would, but she was stupid. No one got caught. But I definitely... I think I missed curfew heat, like, maybe once or twice. The only thing I ever really got in trouble for was, like, I was one of those kids, like, and our curfew wasn't late. Like, I was in high school. It was, like, midnight.
Yeah.
But I definitely showed up with one of my buddies a couple times, and we were pretty tuned.
Messed up.
Yeah, we were pretty tuned off, and, like, that was one of those ones. Like, the next day, my mom was just like, come on. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I trust you guys, but, like, you can't. You can't go out with your friends and just get drunk.
Get drunk and like bring his dumb ass here.
Right, and it was fine because our other friend was sober. He had driven us,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, I was also one of those kids, like, after my junior prom, like, I called my mother and was like, you got to pick me up. The kid that drove us is hammered.
Oh, God.
And she came and picked us up, but, like...
That's all parents ask, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it. But, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I just never snuck out. But also, my mom was cool. Like if we were all friends, like, we could just... I could just invite you guys over, and we could sit in the basement and play Nintendo and stay up for a while.
Yep. Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Weekend is almost here. Coming up, we will drink and toast on the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Come on. And we gotta celebrate the start of baseball season on a Bad Choice Friday with John Fogerty.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me.
Look at you.
I
There's somebody out there saying, yeah, I clapped on this song.
Yeah. That wasn't you. Do you get credit? Yeah, it was, man. Check the liner notes. I'm the clapper on center field. John Fogerty and center field taking on Bruce Springsteen on a Bad Choice Friday. See the glory days. Taking on John Fogerty in center field. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast with the shot of the day.
Do you know what you call like the position the guy plays that sucks in Little League?
What's that?
Left out.
Damn.
Damn.
Our question, why were you talking to the cops or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello. You heard that? No. Oh, yeah. Timothy, I'll leave his last name out.
Yeah. Yeah, never heard that. Yeah. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So I went out for a pretty late night of drinking and partying and came home and I kind of passed out in bed and then I hear my doorbell ring and I'm like, I look at my phone. It's 3 a.m. I'm like, there's no way somebody's at my door right now. But I just rolled over and tried to go back to sleep. And then somebody started pounding on my door and ringing the doorbell. So I'm like, oh, there is somebody at my door. And I grabbed my weapon and went to the top of my stairs. And I'm like, hey, who is it? And they said, Sheriff's Department. I'm like, uh-oh. So I'm like, oh, hold on. Let me put some clothes on. And I put my weapon away and put some clothes on. And they answered the door. And the guy looks at me like, you're not Jebediah. I'm like,
Jebediah.
So he's like, he points at the end of my driveway and he's like, whose car is that at the end of your driveway? And there's some like old 90s Accord. I'm like, I have no idea, man. And he's like, oh, I was chasing some guy down stealing catalytic converters in your neighborhood. And he just parked the car and ran towards your door. So I guess he just jumped my fence and ran towards the woods in my backyard. And, he was just like, oh, you sure you don't know who that is? I'm like, yeah, man, I have no idea. Can you guys tow the car? And I check my backyard. Nobody's back there. So.
But, Brother Trump, I would know if I knew a guy named Jebediah.
Yeah. The guy who founded Springfield.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, old Jebediah.
The converter got stolen 2 weeks after that, too.
Oh, did it, man.
Jebediah. What does that cost to repair? What does that cost to replace?
I got quotes for $600, but I have a welder, so I kind of did something a little illegal and straight piped it.
I'm a welder. You
know, I would too, man. Hell. That's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, just leave the catalytic converters alone. You know, it's spreading like wildfire now. Like, you could have always taken them. But as long as they've been in existence, it hasn't been a problem. And then what, like last 2 or 3 years, it seems like it's exploded. Like, is there like a community meeting of criminals? Like, all right, guys, listen. It occurred to me. Catalytic converters. Yeah, what about? Hey, man, it's got some precious metals and crap on the inside. Why don't we start doing that? Yeah. New York chapter. Just start punching women in the face on the street. Mm-hmm. All right, man, we're all in.
But didn't we talk about this? Like, how are they getting rid of them?
Someone's got to buy them. That's always the problem.
That's always the issue.
But you wonder if it just works like a chop shop, right? So there's a guy that runs a chop shop, and then I hire 12 guys to go out and steal the cars for me. So my big guy, like, look, I'll cut you in on whatever percent of this, but bring me the catalytic converters, and then
who do you sell those to?
I don't know.
What do you do?
I don't know. To me, it just seems like it's kind of like the drug game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, like Mike and I were walking to lunch today. We passed a guy down by the on Third. The guy looked at us. I almost said to Mike, like that guy obviously is still dealing drugs.
Yeah.
So the cops would go down there and bust him, right? But, like, he's a street-level dealer. So, ideally, you want to get
the guy, right?
Right. So, it's like, well, go bust the guys that are cash, that they're bringing the converters to.
That's always been my
argument. Right? I mean, you could stop the street guy stealing them, but he's just a junkie.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Keaton. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, we'll get right into it. So, I went to a wedding, but I rode up with my mom, so I parked my car at a grocery store. So we go up there. I got plastered. I mean, the worst ever. This was back in 2015, weekend of the U.S. Open, when it was at Chambers Bay.
Ah, okay.
So my mom ends up leaving early, and being the good mom she is, she took my car keys. I was like, all right, that's it. So I ended up getting a ride back with somebody else to my car, and they dropped me off and leave. Well, I'm standing in a car at 2 in the morning with no keys to get in. So my genius decides to smash the window in so I can get in and pass out. And I had a up, and I was ready to smoke that. But whatever. So I tried punching the window. It didn't work, so I grabbed a shopping cart, smashed the window in, got in, sat there for a while, called my psycho ex at the time. And I'm sitting there talking on the phone, and then the red and blue lights roll up. I'm like, okay, this is weird. So we start having a conversation, and then they're looking at me, and they're like, do you have any registration? I was like, no, this is, it's a different car. I paid $300 for. I got no title, no nothing. I'm like, okay. So they pull the glove box open, and they pull registration out, and they're like, well, this car belongs to Jay Lovejoy. Do you know who that is? I'm like, no idea. So get out of the car. They're asking me questions, and I'm like, let me call my dad. Maybe he can help you out. So I hand the phone to him, and he starts talking, and the officer goes, so what kind of car does he drive? And right as he says that, I look over about 100 yards away, 100 feet away, and there's my vehicle. I'm driving a Mazda minivan, MPV. It's a three-door Mazda. And then I look back, and I'm standing next to a, what is it, a 1989 blue convertible BMW.
Oh no.
She still had the temporary plates in the window. And I just was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is not my car. So, yeah. So they were like, well, we're going to have to take you to jail for this. So I spent the rest of the weekend in jail. And the worst part is they slapped me with a felony charge for mischief, maliciousness in the second degree because it was X amount of dollars over whatever the first one is. Yeah, so I had to fight that. I got it deferred, blah, 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 blah. But that was a $15,000 lesson at the end of the day. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Are the people who got married, are they still together? Was it worth a day?
Oh, yeah. They're still married.
Okay. Well, there's a positive.
Yeah.
They're married. You're going to go to a wedding.
It was a fun night until then.
I just like that you got the wrong car and smashed out the window. That to me is the best part.
And it's a big difference between a minivan and a convertible BMW.
Yeah.
That's not even...
Oh, yeah. That was the big, like, oh, gosh, how did I even do this? So,
tequila.
Yeah, I'm a bastard.
Right. Mm-hmm. What? Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, John. I put it back on hold. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, yeah, this was many years ago. I just turned 21, and my younger brother is 19, and we're going to the Kingdom to watch a Mariners game, and I'm going to concession, buying two beers at a time, bringing one down for my brother, and it's about, like, the fourth or fifth inning, and the beverage police come down, and they asked my younger brother for his ID. He tells me he doesn't have one. And so they want to know where he got the beer. He says he bought it. They're like, well, come with us. So they march him out. And I wait for a second, and I follow him. And they take him out to the ramp, and there's like three King County sheriffs out there. They're all surrounding him, asking him for his ID. They want to know where he got the beer. And so I step in, and I hand... one of the sheriffs my ID. I said, I'm his older brother, and I bought the beer. And he says, well, great. You guys are both under arrest. And they take us down, and they got a little jail cell down in the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they lock us up in this jail cell in the Kingdom, and we're just sitting there talking about how our old man's going to, you know, beat the crap out of us. And we sit there for about 30 minutes or so. And then they just let us go. They're like, all right, guys, you can't go back to your seats. We're kicking you out of the game. No charges. Just get out of here.
All right, and that's fair.
We high-five in the parking lot and go home, buy a case of beer, and it was all good. But, I mean, at least we can say, you know, we got to see the Kingdom jail before they blew it up.
Was your brother underage?
Yeah, his brother was 19.
Yeah, for sure. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
19.
Okay, all right.
Could you hear the game from the jail cell?
No, we couldn't hear the game. I just remember they walked us in, and there was a couple sheriffs sitting at a desk, and you know, he says, oh, what do you guys got here? And he's like, oh, we got a minor in consumption and contributing. And he's like, oh, all right, good job.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it does. Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
I feel like that seems pretty standard for stuff like that at stadiums.
Right, you're not causing a problem. You did something illegal, and it's not worth the paperwork. Plus, we know once you leave, you, like he said, you're going to go home, buy a case of beer, and share it anyway. Why make this worse? Now, do most major stadiums have a jail? The first one I heard about was Veterans Stadium back in Philly, and I thought it was funny. And then somebody said, Ravens Stadium has like four jail cells as well. And then you keep hearing about
Veterans
it.
Stadium, though, they had a courtroom.
Jesus.
That was the difference. So most stadiums have holding cells.
Now, somewhere to detain them, right?
Correct. Veterans Stadium, if I remember correctly, like they had a judge down there that was giving out like citations and judgments.
Damn,
because because there were so many fights and people like throwing stuff on the field. Like, minors in possession wasn't the issue.
It's not a felony. Philadelphia, notoriously, it's felonies that are committed in their stadium.
So if I could be wrong, but if I remember correctly, it was like they had a full-on courtroom down there and were like holding court, whereas I would think every major stadium has at least a holding cell or something.
I would just say if you build a stadium and you serve alcohol, have a holding cell.
Why are you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Especially football, because there's, right, on the low end, you're going to have, let's just say on average, there's 70,000 people there.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be medical emergencies. There's going to be fights. People are going to trip. Not even drunk people. People are just going to fall and trip and get hurt. Like, you need all that stuff.
Yes, you absolutely do. God, one of the times I was at a Ravens game, they're playing the Giants. This is back in Baltimore. It's maybe 7 years ago. Flew out for a wedding. That's why I got to see the game. And even though the wedding was on a Sunday, which is stupid, I said, that's great. I'm still going to the game. Like, if I'm in Baltimore and the Ravens are playing, I go, period. And this fight breaks out about four rows in front of me, right? And I see a Giants jersey. And in my head, I'm just like, come on, Baltimore. Like, don't do this, man. You know, they're cheering for the other team. They're not a player. It's not personal. It was three Giants fans fighting each other.
Oh.
Yeah, we couldn't. So I was looking at each other like, do we break this up, man? So eventually, security came over and they broke it up. But even the security guard, as he's walking up the stairs with one of them, you know, the big dude is mumbling, he's half drunk. The security guard's just like, Giants fans fighting each other. God damn, man, you got 69,000 people willing to fight you, and you're going to fight each other. Dumbass.
Why are you talking to the cops, or why are the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hello, hello. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome to the show.
We were in Vegas, and we were down over by the Hard Rock, and, you know, there was a crosswalk way down one way, way down the other way. We looked, there was nobody around, nothing. So we decided we're going to go across the street, you know. Well, jaywalking in Las Vegas, up come two cops, come racing up on us. Where the hell did these guys come from? Well, my wife was smoking a doobie going across the street, you know, and she steps on it and whatever, and that. So they ask her, they go, you know why we stopped you? And she answers right away while jaywalking. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, da-dee-da-dee-da. And they start asking us all this question, get our information. Start running my ID. They start checking all of our pockets. We're carrying two bottles of water. We don't drink, but we sure smoke. So we had in our pockets, I had 10 grams of cannabis oil, individually weighed, and a vial of LSD. And the cops went through, emptied every pocket that we have, checked all of everything. They were running my name. They ran my name forever because, well, they looked at my whole history and they're like trying to figure out, well, you know, what they could get me for, and they couldn't get me for anything. And so all of a sudden they get ready to let us go, and the cop pats one last pocket on my chest and goes, hey, what's in here? And in unison, my wife and I answered. She goes, his, and I go, my medicine. And they didn't open that pocket. And we're just like, oh, my God. They're like, well, get out of here. You know, it's a serious offense in Las Vegas. We're jaywalking and just chewed our butts out and this and that. And we're just like, look at each other. And we're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe they emptied every pocket we have except for the one pocket.
Do you look so messed up that they just believe it's medicine?
That they just believed it was medicine? Well, I don't know. We could have been. We said it so matter-of-factly. There was just not even a flinch, not even a hesitation. And that's what we always see. That's what we always called our cannabis oil is medicine. And so that was just what we always called it. So that was the easy referral. It's my medicine.
Yeah. I'm going to try that with a cop. Have you been drinking? Yeah, dude, but it's just mama juice. You're drinking alcohol? Nah, dude, it's mama juice. It's all good.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I got an entire family deported out of the country and the homeowner sent to prison with a pellet gun.
Congratulations. What the hell happened?
I got a pellet gun for Christmas one year, and my buddies and I, we didn't necessarily have anything against these neighbors, but for a course of months, we were shooting out the windows in their house. Well, one day there was a FedEx truck in that cul-de-sac, and I hit the FedEx truck. Well, the FedEx truck called the cops. The cops ratted on me for getting a new pellet gun. The next thing I know, I'm standing in my kitchen with a police officer, my 16-year-old ass, and my mom and dad.
Okay. So how did a family get deported?
The police officer only mentioned the FedEx truck. Next thing I know, it's a couple weeks later, I get a notice in the mail saying my misdemeanor has been dropped. And that was pretty much it. It got real quiet. But then there were security surveillance videos and Homeland Security notices all over the front of this house, and nobody was home anymore. And that's when I found out what happened.
Are you going to tell us, or do you want us to guess?
Yeah, I mean, what happened?
Yeah, finish the story.
That's pretty much it.
How did the family get deported?
How did the family get deported because you were shooting at them?
Because the cops noticed the windows busted out, and they went and investigated the family.
Ah, okay.
All right.
Now
we got the
process. Now it makes sense. Yeah, man.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, you need a little help on the where to end the story.
I would tell that story.
I wouldn't personally.
Yeah.
But, you know, but there's a difference. He's calling in. We don't know who he is. I would not share that story on the air, being that people do know who we are. Then again, I've admitted to kidnapping someone. So, you know, for me, it's all on the table now. But that said, kidnapping someone is the worst thing that I have done. I'm happy to say that. And I have not gotten anyone deported. I don't think.
Yeah, he just doesn't look great there.
Well, he opened with that.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you open your story with...
They're shooting out that family's windows.
I have no problem with them. We're just shooting out the windows.
Right. And then so they cause the trouble. The cops show up, and then that family gets deported. Like that...
Yeah. Okay. Damn FedEx people. What did you tell me yesterday, Miles? Your friend?
Oh.
He was married?
I just talked to him this week. We're talking about his kids, and so I curiously asked. I said, whatever happened to your first wife, Joy, who... left you for the UPS guy that was delivering to your house. And he goes, well, they went out for maybe like a year or two, whatever. I think the guy was married. I don't know what the deal was. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, all right. He's like, yeah, but she dumped him and started dating the FedEx guy. And now they're married.
Damn, man.
And I'm like, serious?
She's got a type. Yeah. Someone who knocks on their door. Why were you talking to the cops? Why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
It's a grown-up, a huge Three's Company fan.
Mm-hmm. Come on, come on. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, how are you?
Hola.
I think you're going to like this one.
All right.
Me and my buddy went out to Oakland. This is back in 94. And we went out to Oakland to get some weed. And... we had run out of gas because he spent all his money on weed. So he had somebody give him his gas card. And so we said, hey, let's stop at this shutdown gas station and see if this gas card works. So by the gas station, it don't work. It's a stolen gas card. And so we decided to pull off to the side of the gas station and roll up some of this weed that we just got, which is back then was some of the best we'd ever seen. And now it's common. But so as we're just starting to open the bag, we got swarmed by like four cops. Four cop cars and like two cops per car. So we were swarmed. Each one had guns on us. So we got our hands up in the air, and I've got a lap full of weed. And I just can't believe it. And I'm like, I can't move. I can't. So I ended up just moving my leg, and it dumped off to the side between the door and the seat. I'm thinking, well, I hope this works. And it didn't. As soon as they opened the car, they're like, oh, there it is.
Whoop, there it is.
Whoop, there it is. And So they lock us up. They put us in the back of the car. And now we're down to four cops. One car took off. So they take the and they go to the front of our car, which was opposite of where they had pulled us over. And the woman cop puts her face all the way in the bag. Now, you can smell this weed like three blocks away. You know what I mean? You didn't need to put your face anywhere near it. Like, she puts her face all the way in this bag. And I'm like, why in the world are you doing this? And sure enough, I come back to the back of the car, and my buddy is crying because he's on dialysis, so he really needs it. Right? So he tells the cop all this. He goes, just give me my weed, man. I don't care if you take me to jail. Just don't take my weed. So the cop ends up, long story short, the cop ends up giving us a yellow ticket, which means we came across you upon our day. They took about $90 worth of weed, and they just went out and smoked it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I know that cop. Ted versus the FCC is on the way, and we've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.